The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, folks. 18 September 2020. And I want to finish up this Rappaport story from actually 2014, 6 years ago. The familiarity with the information here could have been penned last week. So he gives instructions to the spider guys over there at the CDC that don't like what their organization's doing. They are on the inside. They've seen it themselves, and they don't like it. His second suggestion, CDC buys massive amounts of vaccines and at the same time heads up research on safety of vaccines, explosive structural conflict of interest. If you wanted to buy a product and the main source of the research on the product was the company selling it, would you automatically assume the product was safe and effective? I seem to remember, folks, Ford Motor Company selling the hell out of their little Pintos. And General Motors coming out with a car called the Vega. It's cheap transportation that literally would fall apart on you. And, of course, the Pinto would blow up into balls of flame because the gas tank was not protected properly. At any rate. But you see, that's just the beginning of the problem. Suppose the company research was cited thousands of times in the press as the authoritative standard of proof, and anyone who disputed that research was labeled a conspiracy theorist and a quack and a danger to the community and an anti-scientist lunatic. Would you begin to suspect the company had some awesome media connections? Would you suspect some very powerful people were backing the company? This is exactly the situation that exists at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. And here is two quotes. The government's Vaccine for Children program, CDC organization, purchases vaccines for about 50% of the children in the U.S. That was in The Atlantic on February 10th of 2015. The CDC currently spends over $4 billion purchasing vaccines annually from the drug makers. That was Health Impact News, October 24th, 2016. However, the CDC is also the gold standard for research on the safety and efficacy of the vaccines. It turns out an unending stream of studies on these subjects, and the results of those studies are dutifully reported in the mainstream press. Now, do you think under any circumstances the CDC would publish data showing vaccines are ineffective and dangerous? They'd be cutting their own throats. Well, we spend $4 billion a year buying vaccines from drug companies, but guess what? These vaccines are often dangerous. Every time you read about a CDC study on vaccines, keep this obvious and clearly illegal conflict of interest in mind. Third suggestion he makes, massive overestimate of flu deaths in the U.S. in order to push the flu vaccine. In December of 2005, the British Medical Journal published a shocking report by Peter Doshi, which created tremors through the halls of the Centers for Disease Control, where the quote-unquote experts used to tell the press that 36,000 people in the U.S. die every year from the flu. Here's a quote from Doshi's report. Are U.S. flu deaths figures more PR than science? According to CDC statistics, influenza and pneumonia took 62,034 lives in 2001. 61,777 of which were attributable to pneumonia, and 257 to the flu, and only in 18 cases was the flu virus positively identified. Folks, that's what was in the British Medical Journal back in 2005. Boom. You see, the CDC has created one overall category that combines both flu and pneumonia. Why do they do this? Because they disingenuously assume that the pneumonia deaths are complications stemming from the flu. That's an absurd assumption. Pneumonia has a number of causes, but even worse, in all the flu and pneumonia deaths, only 18 revealed the presence of an influenza virus. Therefore, the CDC could not say with assurance that more than 18 people died of influenza in 2001, not 36,000 deaths, 18 deaths. Doshi continued his assessment of the published CDC flu death statistics, quoting once again from his findings. Between 1979 and 2001, the CDC data shows an average of 1,348 flu deaths per year. They range between 257 to 3,006. These figures refer to flu separated out from the pneumonia. This death toll is obviously far lower than the parroted 36,000 figure. However, when you add the sensible condition that lab tests have to actually find a flu and the virus in the patients, the number of flu deaths plummet even further. In other words, it's all promotion and hype. Well, we say that 36,000 people die from the flu every year in the U.S., but actually it's closer to 20. However, we can't admit that because if we did, we'd be exposing our gigantic psyop. The whole campaign to scare people into getting a flu shot will have about the same effect as warning people to carry iron umbrellas in case toasters fall out of the upper story windows. And by the way, we'd be put in prison for fraud. The CDC must turn out a steady stream of outrageous lies about the need for vaccines. If they didn't, they'd have no way to justify the billions of dollars they spend every year buying vaccines from the drug companies. So, Spider Group, don't stop now. Deepen your probe, become true heroes for honest research, expose the deep roots of corruption in your agency, and do the right thing for the American people you've sworn to serve. That was John Rappaport's 2014 story that could have been penned yesterday about this COVID-19 scan plan demic. I'm tired of it. I'm sick to death of this because, folks, here it is. We're winding down September. This ass-hat governor we got down here in Texas, and brother, I can't tell you how much I detest this character because I see and I hear the damage that his experts, him following what the experts have been telling him. Governor, I got a suggestion for you. Why don't you pick up the phone and call the governor of South Dakota? Now, you're not going to do that because you're in this now. You're up to your eyeballs in it now. And I guarantee you, folks, he's been getting a lot of heat. That's why, oh, well, we're going to look at opening up 75% capacity next week here in Texas. The amount of money Texas is getting on a $31 billion bailout ain't small change. But I look at the people's lives that have literally been ruined in Texas. The business that people put together, and if they were in business for any number of years, they barely survived the 2008 supposed banking crisis, hanging on by the skin of their teeth. The economy was on its way up after stagnating for what? Almost 10 years? So Trumpty Dumpty comes along and says, you know what? This is wrong. We're going to redo trade deals. He huffed and he puffed. Remember, folks, what he told Ford that was moving factories, production facilities, that he's going to put a tariff on their automobiles? What did he say? 35%, something like that? He started to turn up the heat, and all of a sudden the jobs start returning to the United States. The Democrats and Republicans alike got together. Most favored nation status for China. Oh, let's make them a trading partner. Oh, yes, they're a completely trustworthy communist country. And then we saw the trade deficits escalate year after year after year after year. And why are those trade deficits so important? Because, well, the cheap goods coming in from China, folks, for the people that still remained in business in the United States, they could not compete with their price points. They literally could not do it. They would have to be in business to earn no profit, and they'd still lose money. So Trumpty Dump comes along, and he starts to fix that. Now, folks, I can guarantee you of one thing. In the world of politics, I've watched the Kennedy-Nixon debates, for God's sakes. And that was back in 1960. God, was it really 60 years ago? And without this COVID-19, let's shut everything down, we would not even bother with an election. We'd just coronate this guy president for the next 4 years. Because the impact that he was having on this decimated economy after the bankers got done screwing us in 2008, or at least the discovery and the collapse thereof, who do you think was noticing this and how it was done? That's right, Donnie John, Mr. Trump. So him and his ego rolled into the White House and said, I can fix this. I know how to do deals. I understand business. Telling you, if unfettered by this COVID-19 crap to shut down the economy, not only of this country, but worldwide, if that did not happen, do you think people would even know who Joe Biden is? I doubt it. Bumbling, stumbling old fart that he is. Why is he doing this? You know, have you ever heard anybody asking the question, why is Joe Biden running for president? I never heard that question asked. What I hear is a lot of campaign rhetoric and BS that you expect out of politicians running at election times. But see, Uncle Joe, for me, he crossed the Rubicon last week. And he's been making statements all week. Well, Donald Trump's responsible for killing people. Well, aside from our asshat governor down here in Texas, let's please look at the cities and the states that are Democrat-controlled and have ruined their economies. Do you think that's an accident, or do you think political games are being played? At whose expense? What do you say to the dead guy or the dead woman that killed themselves because their dreams had been smashed? The businesses they had built prior to 2008, God, they barely hung on. Barely hung on. Only to see it wiped out forever this spring. Murder? Treason? There's all sorts of words that I could use. But these people, and I don't, Mike, I can't think of another another term, then they've got to be eradicated, whatever the hell that means. You know, maybe it's sonic devices. You know, when you eradicate pest, little creatures you don't want in your house, what do? You grab the bug spray. Well, some people figure that, well, we can do this a different way. We can plug these little sonic devices into your AC outlets of your home, and the insects don't like that, so they won't come in your house. Well, you've eradicated your problem, haven't you, without killing one insect? There are different forms of eradication. Before I get into this story, what, Mike? Mike? Is that a caller or no? John in Michigan. It took him that long to answer in the affirmative?
John?
Yes, go ahead.
The
John.
Reason they hear Biden out there is because Bernie didn't. The main guy, obviously, he's
okay.
So radical that they probably would have lost more people than they're losing with Biden. And also, they were, would they be able to slip, like Kamala and Hillary in the background and keep that going? So that's why we have fumbling Bob for Biden.
Okay.
No Bernie.
No Bernie?
No Bernie.
You mean Bernie? Bernie didn't. John, are you actually telling me that Bernie Sanders was out there and he was pushing his socialist crap that nobody was buying? Is that the reason why Uncle Bernie's not around anymore?
No, I think they were buying it, and they didn't want that extremism to be the focus of their election. They figured Biden, being Obama's best buddy, wouldn't be able to carry their party with maybe a slip in like Kamala Lala and Hillary in the background and Pelosi. So it's a big game, big setup again. But anybody that can justify voting for any of them, they all believe that killing a baby after it's born is okay. And that's all I have to say to someone that says they're a Democrat. And their faces sort of get...
Oh, no. See, now that's the wrong approach, John, because that's a person's choice.
Well, not after the baby is born. And that doesn't, they don't have an answer for that one. But every one of them has gone along with that program. And that's why we're suffering now, because of all of the babies and that have not been born and all the sacrificing that's been going on with their blood. And we're paying our dues there, and also for all the people that we've maimed and killed in the other countries that we shouldn't be in. So our country has to be very humble, and hey, God's having mercy on us. I think Trump is the only one that could bring us out of this.
Well, you know, John, you've heard me say this before. Under normal circumstances, in a normal election cycle, whatever the hell normal is anymore, I wouldn't have said, Trump's the right guy for the job. But in these, you know, there's an old saying about, how exactly does that go? You have to take extraordinary measures under extraordinary circumstance, and there's variations of that theme or that meme out there. But basically, that's my thoughts on Trump. Is he brash? Is he rude? Is he unpresidential, mirrored against any other president in the United States? Oh, yeah, he is. But he was the right guy for the job.
And he's also is not a politician. He's a businessman first, and he's also a family man, whether he's had three or not, his wife or not, or how many he's had. But they all been treated well, according to what I've heard. And he also went to Scotland, and there's secret society there. And he was coming back and said he's being protected by the rednecks. So he's got people that are out there that no one has a clue who's out there. So we're really blessed, and we should be on our knees thanking God, because if these people, I mean, I don't think they'll get control, but they'll raise havoc, and I think...
No, John. It's going to be a whole lot uglier than that. Oh,
yes.
It is going to be. And if I've got time today, I'll get into that as well. All right, John, I'm at break.
God bless.
All right, thank you.
Took it all away.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz.
I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John,
Big Bad John.
Joe Biden's been around for so long, Johnny Carson was hammering him for plagiarism way back in 1987. Here.
Now, on the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him, and then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry, he reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
What's old is new. Well, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he finally, Memorial Day was what? Almost 2 weeks ago, right now? Almost 2 weeks ago. Be 2 weeks, well, next Monday. Like I said, the heat's been being put on him. Trump didn't want the hospitals, the information on the COVID crisis going to the CDC. He wanted to see the numbers unmessed with. I think that was also part of the plan here, because he smelled a rat all the way in Washington, D.C. Well, Mr. Abbott says retail stores, thank God I can go to the grocery store. Really? I can go to the grocery store? Seriously? Restaurants, office buildings, gyms can reopen at 75% capacity as early as September 21st. Wait a minute. I've never seen a fire marshal's posting on any grocery store stating what the capacity of the grocery store is. I'm sorry. Data from the state's 22 hospital regions will dictate... here it comes. Data from the state's 22 hospital regions will dictate the rate at which Texas reopens its retail stores, restaurants, office buildings, and gyms, among other businesses, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said during the September 17 press conference. Remember the hospitals, folks, that are getting scads of money from the federal government for treating COVID-19 that ain't COVID-19? Yeah. The respirators, treatment, $39,000, whatever. Yeah, you can see the, no, there's no conflict of interest here. COVID-19 hasn't exactly disappeared in Texas, Abbott said during the press conference, but we are now armed with the personal safety standard and some medical advancements that it can ensure that we can continue to tame COVID-19 until more treatments and vaccines become available. That's a mouthful right there, isn't it? Yes. Relying most heavily on hospitalization data will help distinguish the severity of the coronavirus pandemic between regions of Texas, since not all parts of the state are being impacted the same way by COVID-19. Idiot. I'm sorry, Abbott said September 17th. Officials determined that a fair and reliable metric for reopening is whether or not total number of COVID-19 hospitalizations in a region exceeds 15% of the region's overall hospitalizations. And folks, what did we see in the depths of this so-called scamdemic? The hospitals were empty. Why? Because they weren't allowing other patients in. You know, the people with broken arms and legs and other medical conditions that they needed to see a doctor. I read of one woman that was cooped up in her apartment for 4 months with a broken arm because she was scared she was going to get the COVID-19 if she went to the hospital. Not that she probably would have been let in any damn way. Four regions where the number of COVID-19 hospitalizations does not exceed 15% of the total hospitalizations, the following businesses can reopen at 75% capacity as early as September 21st. Oh, 3 days from now, next Monday. For the reopening businesses, retail stores, restaurants, manufacturing centers, office buildings, museums, libraries, gyms. Hospitals in regions below the 15% marker can also begin performing non-elective surgeries effective immediately. Well, geez, thank you, Gov. Thank you very much for pulling your head out of your paralyzed butt. Sorry, but you've made yourself a real political target here in Texas. And I can't tell you the amount of imaginary crosshairs that are pointed at your head right now. Notice I said imaginary. And what did Galveston County do? Galveston County removes many of September 8th's reported deaths. Well, they had to realign their figures just as the CDC did. You know, we had 150,000 people in this country that died of COVID-19. Where the more conservative number put it at around 6,000 in this country, and the not-so-conservative number, a whopping 9,000 deaths from the coronavirus.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Jeff in Florida. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, thank you. Speaking of crosshairs, I'd like to just, if I may, just go back to what you were talking about last week. I just finished a book by Amy Knight called Orders to Kill. It's about Putin. And there was a guy back there, this happened in 2006, called Andriy Kozlov. And he was kind of like the Ron Paul of the day back then. And they had a banking conference in Sochi. And like I said, 2006, and he was there, and two of his proposals he had was, one was to have any auditing company that covered up any malfeasance to also be liable for all penalties and back pay, or whatever you want to call it. And also the other one was any banker that was found guilty of any crime could never be hired, could never be in the banking profession again. And within a week of him saying that, he was shot dead. That just shows that the tentacles go all over the world, not now, just here with JFK.
And Jeff, does it surprise you that Ron Paul said that he didn't really want to be president because they would kill me?
I understand completely.
I understood his logic, but, you know, here's the problem. You know, he went out there, collected a lot of donations from people. A lot of people worked tirelessly. I mean, worked their fingers to the bone to let people know who Ron Paul was. His first go around barely made a political blip. The second time around, his popularity soared to he was actually the old man, was actually status of rock star on college campuses throughout the United States. But the problem I had with Ron Paul, that this wasn't an honest thing from the start. If you are going to run for the presidency, your aim, most people would assume, that you wanted that job. He didn't want it. All he wanted to do was educate people. That's all that he wanted to do. And what I hold him, what I have a bad taste in my mouth about Ron Paul is after his political runnings for the presidency that he really didn't want, that he didn't use his notoriety to continue educating. He crawled in his hidey hole and started making videos and put them on YouTube. I mean, I was up to my eyeballs with the Ron Paul campaign both times. And then on the second go around, I called the people in from Texas and from Washington, D.C. At my request, they actually brought the head honchos in from even Washington, D.C.'s office to a meeting down here in Texas. And only to discover that these people were not happy. They were not happy because the campaign was not being run correctly. And it was being run by people that shouldn't have been running a campaign to begin with. You know, that's how involved I was. And it pissed me off, Jeff. That's how I feel about it. It pissed me off.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank
Have a good
you.
Day.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your call. All right. Well, here's an update on Mr. Assange. And this is from TVism out of Munich. Two defense witnesses took the stand in Assange's extradition hearings to testify about the Iraq war logs and the publications and the implications of using the Espionage Act of 1917 to charge journalist and publisher for engaging in standard journalistic activities. Include statements from Dustin Hoffman, head of the office, to Martin Sonneborn, member of the European Parliament, to view all of our... Wow, Dustin Hoffman was in on this deal? That's something I didn't know. At any rate, here's the report, the updated report on Julian Assange. And this is about the extradition back to the United States.
Hey everyone, I'm Taylor Hudak with Activism Munich reporting to you live in London outside the Old Bailey Courthouse on the Julian Assange extradition hearings. Today we heard from two defense witnesses. The first was Professor John Sloboda, who spoke about the redaction process before the publication of the Iraq war logs. Sloboda testified that Assange took the redaction process very seriously and even delayed the publication of the Iraq war logs to ensure the proper redactions were made. Sloboda, who is the founder of Iraq Body Count, testified that the Iraq war logs is an essential publication to understanding civilian casualties in Iraq.
Documents released by WikiLeaks led to...
The Dustin Hoffman, it's Hoffmann. he's the head of the office to Martin Sonneborn, member of parliament. Okay, that clears that up.
Found out that there were like 15,000 more civil casualties than they had known before, but also that for them it's extremely important to know how people died and in what way, what circumstances. And he said that the documents helped him a lot in his research and his work.
The prosecution is seeking to establish that Assange was careless during the redaction process, and prosecutors continued with their typical techniques of discrediting defense witnesses. The second defense witness to testify was human rights attorney Carrie Shankman. He spoke about the U.S. Espionage Act of 1917 and the dangers of using this act to criminalize publishing activities. What is your perspective on how the United States is using a very antiquated piece of legislation, the U.S. Espionage Act of 1917, against a journalist and publisher for the very first time?
For me, it seems to be a bit strange, all the things that are surrounding the Espionage Act, how the court, like how the prosecution would take place in the States, that evidence is secret, seems to be a bit weird for me. But now, after like having a quick glance at the statement that the second witness gave today, the historical context of the Espionage Act, it originates in World War One, and basically in a time where it was supposed to prevent people from making statements against the war. So the government wanted to hold all people to support the war and wanted to punish people who made statements against it, and that's the spirit it originates from. So I find it quite weird. I think that the number of journalists who are afraid or frightened or intimidated by this proceeding going on here speaks for itself. Especially there are a lot of journalists that consider themselves not fans of Mr. Assange, but still think it's horrible that he's indicted under the Espionage Act and are afraid of it could result in a huge violation of press freedom and could change press freedom in the future.
Shankman testified that the Espionage Act is one of the most highly contentious pieces of legislation in the United States and that it is up to prosecutorial discretion to not use it against innocent citizens. Shankman was critical of the prosecution's line of questioning, stating that much of it was based off of hypotheticals to invoke a response. His testimony will resume tomorrow, and we will be back here reporting on this case. So please make sure that you do subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you like the work that we do here, please donate to our organization.
Not before they donate to RBN. Sorry, dear. Well, and if I remember my timeline here with Julian Assange, didn't he get his proverbial in a ringer here because he had put out the Snowden information, Mike? I think that was it. But also, there was something else. Oh, the information because, well, Sean Hannity, the million-dollar baby over at Fox News, took a trip all the way over to England to visit Mr. Assange to have a sit-down interview with him, and he really wanted to know the information he had on Seth Rich, that Seth Rich was murdered, because Seth Rich was putting out information about who? Oh, Hillary Clinton and the cabal. Now, that guy was a Democrat. Now, I suspect that the murder of Seth Rich, and I will call it a murder, because it sure as heck wasn't any damn robbery, folks. You know, that was bad for Seth Rich because he lost his life, because he didn't like what the Democrat Party was doing, and he started to talk about it openly. But that was, I'm going to show you what we're capable of. That was, you better shut your mouth, action. It's highly effective. First about Chelsea Manning? Okay, assisting Chelsea Manning. Well, by the way, Chelsea made a better woman than a man. But that's... Okay, sorry. But it was also with Snowden and the Seth Rich story. You know, the 1917 Espionage Act, an act that's over 100 years old, and that's not being applied correctly because Julian Assange took his position very seriously. And as you heard in the report, redacted to the best of his ability, you know, any sensitive information that might have been in his stories and communiques. We can't have that. But he was able to hole up in the embassy over there in London. Self-imposed, folks. What was he? He was in isolation for what? 7 years? Something like that? Now, I know the human spirit can endure a lot. Just ask anybody that's been ever thrown in jail that has maybe spent years in solitary confinement. Try keeping your sanity in a condition like that. Well, that's not something anybody would choose, even if the person that did a dastardly crime that would warrant him being in isolation. But that's not what this guy, this was self-imposed. He could have turned himself in. The charges that were levied against Julian Assange turned out to be fake. But they still wanted him. They wanted him badly. Because we can't set a standard for journalism worldwide. You heard in the report, even people that didn't like Julian Assange, they were in the business of the news and went, whoa, let this guy out of jail. Sad. I mean, sad. Tell you what, I'm buying a bottle of champagne the day that Julian Assange is finally set free. And I would venture a guess that Snowden won't be too far behind. Because remember Snowden's crime? Showing that video taken from a helicopter blowing the crap out of Iraqis for no damn good reason at all? And there were many more deaths, as you heard in that report, over 15,000. Well, I got a news flash here. With all the involvement in the U.S. and the Middle East, we've killed pretty much 4 million people. 4 million people, folks, without declaring a war. Because, you know, the rules of war are very specific. The reason why you're going to war. The reason why you want to declare war. The actions of one government against a sovereign nation or nations has to be spelled out. But you see, because we have this, well, we've got to be more fluid and we've got to be there quickly and, well, this is terrorism and we don't have time to have a debate and endless speeches in the halls of Congress and, no, we've got to act fast. Well, just ask the 4 million dead people how they feel about that. By the way, I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around this peace deal with Israel and Saudi Arabia and whoever else. I'm still looking at this, and there's not a whole lot of information coming out about this, more specifically the real reasons why. There's always a reason why, folks, not what you hear publicly or a politician talk about, but, you know, real reasons. Yeah, we'll pop the champagne once Julian is out of prison. By the way, yep, I already did that one. Oh. Here is something that showed up from Dr. Joseph Mercola. And this is about the injectable biochip for SARS-CoV-2 detection. This is near Food and Drug Administration approval. Profusa, in partnership with the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's right, DARPA, our wonderful darlings over at DARPA, has created an injectable biosensor capable of detecting the presence of an infection in your body. Injectable hydrogel biosensors are not rejected as foreign bodies like earlier implants, instead becoming one of your own tissue. The technology consists of three components: the implanted sensor, a reader placed on the surface of the skin, and the software that allows the reader to send the collected data via Bluetooth to your phone or tablet, which in turn can be connected to other online sources such as your doctor's website. Profusa's DARPA-backed technology will be able to detect the presence of flu-like infections, including SARS-CoV-2 infections, in the population before they become symptomatic. As such, the biosensors may become part of the future pandemic detection systems. Detention. Let's lock these guys up forever and ever. Amen. Mass surveillance of biological data will require massively increased bandwidth in cell phone and Wi-Fi networks. And it's possible that this is why the governments are rushing implementation of the 5G networks around the world without giving potentially adverse effects a second thought. The Silicon Valley company Profusa, in partnership with the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, has created an injectable biosensor capable of detecting the presence of an infection in your body. In early August 2019, months before COVID-19 became a household word, DARPA granted Profusa additional funding to develop an early identification system to detect the disease outbreaks, the biological attacks, and pandemics up to 3 weeks earlier than current methods. Now, let me remind you here, folks. Who's been targeted with the distribution of these vaccines? The military. The freaking military. Along with Health and Human Services and whoever else they want to give the dominy-dominy to go out there and do their dirty biddings.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
Well, as discussed in the new COVID vaccine makes you transhuman, we appear to stand at the doorway of a brave new world in which man is increasingly merged with technology and artificial intelligence. And COVID-19 may well be the key that opens that door in more ways than one. For starters, many of the COVID-19 vaccines currently being fast-tracked are not conventional vaccines. Their design is aimed at manipulating your own biology, essentially creating genetically modified humans. Combined with the hydrogel biosensors, which do not suffer from rejection as foreign bodies like earlier implants, instead become one of your own tissue. Now, this hydrogel chip will connect you to the internet. Hydrogel is DARPA invention that involves nanotechnology and nanobots. This bioelectronic interface is part of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine delivery system. The biochip being developed by the Profusa is similar to the proposed COVID-19 mRNA vaccines in that it utilizes the hydrogel. The implant is the size of a grain of rice. It connects to an online database that will keep track of changes in your biochemistry and a wide range of biometrics, such as your heart and respiratory rate, and much, much more. Nanotechnology could theoretically be used to make mind control systems, invisible and mobile eavesdropping devices, or unimaginably horrific tools of torture. A September 2019 paper describes how the injectable sensor can help improve monitoring for peripheral artery disease. However, while it might be convenient, this kind of technology will also have immediate ramifications for your privacy. Who will collect and have access to this data? Who will be responsible for protecting it? How will it be used and when? Well, as noted in the Steam KR article discussing the implants, along with the advent of the in-body nanotechnology and sensors which tie human body to an artificial intelligence platform, the possibilities for misuse by totalitarian governments has not been lost on technology watchdogs. With advanced biosensors, artificial intelligence may be able to read the subject's every mood and activity, heart rate, respiratory rate, body temperature, and even your sexual activity. How the biosensor works? The sensor has two parts. One is a 3-millimeter string of hydrogel, a material whose network of polymer chains is used in some contact lenses and other implants. Inserted under the skin with a syringe, the syringe includes a specifically engineered molecule that sends a fluorescent signal outside the body when the body begins to fight an infection. In other words, you'll light up like a June bug. Another other part of the electronic component attached to the skin, it sends light through the skin, detects the fluorescent signal, and generates another signal that the wearer can send to a doctor, a website, etc. It's like a blood lab on the skin that can pick up the body's response to illness before the presence of symptoms like coughing. So to recap, the technology consists of three components: the implanted sensor, a reader placed on the surface of the skin, and the software that allows the reader to send the collected data via Bluetooth to your phone or tablet, which in turn can be connected to other online sources such as your doctor's website. There's more to that story, folks. I don't have time to finish it. Much, much, much more to that story. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Download the story. Read it for yourself. This is by Dr. Joseph Mercola. Send it off to friends. And while you're at the website doing that, make a donation right at the top for PayPal. It's very easy. It doesn't hurt. Thank you for being here today. Back with you Monday with a new edition of the National Intel Report with my co-host on Monday, Steve Elkins. Well, I'm looking forward to going grocery shopping Monday, Mike. Holy mackerel. Wow. And maybe a haircut. Thanks for being here, folks. We'll see you Monday.
Hear ye, hear ye. ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus, for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to constitutionontrial.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.